second week in Advent is this week. And, well, what are we going to speak about today? For two marks, teams, complete this well-known phrase or saying. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, and on earth, peace. Peace and goodwill to goodwill to all men, isn't it? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. This is what the angels cried out, and I'm sure you knew it really, though you're a little bit reticent to share that with me. Never mind. It's what the angels cried out at the birth, the first time that Jesus Christ came. We look forward to his second time, when he will come and peace will break out on the earth. We don't have peace at this time, do we? And it's a sad time. Sad news items that we read and we see on the television. It is not a peaceful world, unfortunately. Peace will come, and that's something to look forward to. That's why, again, I think it's good to look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you all know the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. It's a lovely song. I seem to remember the first time I heard that was at the Festival Tabernacles at Minehead, the last one at Minehead. I think we had 7 years at Minehead, and the seventh year I was there. And first time I heard this song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, Ross Judson conducting, as I recall, a children's choir. And he's very good with the children, and he got them singing very well indeed. Lovely rendition of this song. And I was very impressed with it, very moved by it. It was my first feast, so it was a very special time for me. And to see those children and to hear those children singing this lovely new song, you know, it really, really moved me. And I remember going down the front and introducing myself to Ross Judson and asking about the piece of music. And he showed me the music and I took a note of it, and I've got a copy of it at home. It's very good. Very good piece. Very nice indeed. In fact, I used to belong to the Northampton Male Voice Choir, and it's one part of their... what's the word, not liturgy, their repertoire, thank you. So it was nice to see that. I'm not a member of the choir anymore, but it's nice that it's still in their repertoire. But you remember the way that finishes, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Now that's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Well, I think that's quite a responsibility, isn't it? If we're going to take the words of this song accurately and face value, let it begin with me. Are we going to be the carriers of peace into the new kingdom? I think you know the answer to that. It's all going to come from Jesus Christ, but we'll come to that in a few moments. For this to happen, for us to contribute to and be carriers of peace into the kingdom, we need to have peace, to be peace in our everyday lives, to be peaceable. And I wonder if we probably do inwardly are peaceable, but I wonder if outwardly we're peaceable. Of course, it's not a worldly peace that we're seeking to be. The absence of war, for instance, certainly we would like to see the absence of war, but that isn't really possible at this time, and there's very little we can do about that, except for pray about it, of course. But I suppose in our own life... there isn't the peace that we would like, perhaps in our relationships with various people. We often hear of people who are having a trial separation, or they have separated themselves from people because there's just animosity, some disagreement, some unhappiness in the way in which their relationship is developing. In families, in our friends and in our neighbourhoods, perhaps there isn't the peace we would like. And perhaps that's something we can do about it. It's a wonderful time of the year. Christmas, I think, is a wonderful time of the year. Whatever you may think about it, the time of the year means people are happier, they are a little more receptive to the repairing of broken relationships. And I wonder if we can't use that time. If we are experiencing this, that there is not peace in our relationships with other people, in family, friends and neighbours, anywhere, indeed, however we may experience life, there may be that breakdown of good relationships. Now is a good time of the year to repair that relationship, and I think we should take advantage of that. What we seek is a godly peace. Peace, of course, is one of the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we have access to, and I hope we can say we are imbued with. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, faithfulness. We were talking about faithfulness just now. What a faithful God we have. What a wonderful thing to be thankful for, that we have a faithful God and a peace-loving God. And a God that emanates peace, because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And he is Spirit. He is full of the Holy Spirit. He is a wonderful God. And we love him dearly. And we thank him for sending us his son, Jesus. The godly peace that we have and we can experience and we can enjoy is given us by the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know one of his titles. I'm just going to read one of the scriptures here in Isaiah. I expect this month we should be hearing quite a lot of Isaiah read out. If you listen to the radio programs, the church services that they have, they will be reading from Isaiah. And I'd like to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, and beginning in verse 1. Not in verse 1, verse 6. Read your notes, Roger. Isaiah chapter 9, and a couple of verses beginning in verse 6. You'll know these very well. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. This is obviously one of the times when it is mentioned in the Old Testament about the second coming of Christ. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. His government and of peace there will be no end. That's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, so often when we hear about peace, it isn't lasting. Peace breaks down. It isn't. I'm just thinking of something I mentioned last week, actually, about. Perhaps I can just mention this. If you had something like as a headline, "Peace breaks out," the description of that size of print, "Peace breakout," would be in bold letters, wouldn't it? Large print. On the front cover of a newspaper. And I understand that the description of that size of print is called Second Coming Type. The size of the type is called Second Coming, because that's the kind of size of type that you would choose to announce the second coming of Jesus Christ. I thought that was interesting that they should use that title or that description of type. Well, I guess they would use that type when peace breaks out at the start of the new kingdom. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Be wonderful to see, wouldn't it, on a newspaper. Peace has broken out. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. See, it isn't up to us. It isn't up to you and I. We can contribute. We can be a part of it. We can support it. We can pray about it. We can be in favour of it. But the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Praise be to God for that wonderful, wonderful truth. I was talking about making peace with other people. And this is something that Jesus said that we should give some time to. I said this time of the year was a good time, but let's face it, at any time, making peace with people must be a good thing. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 9? If I just want to say Matthew chapter 5, that says to me, Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps it says it to you too. And wonderful, wonderful series of scriptures here. But we're just going to read one, verse chapter 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Do you want to be called a son of God? Do you consider yourself a son of God or a daughter of God? Then are you a peacemaker? Do you make peace? Or do you avoid people? Do you think, well, I'll make peace by just keeping myself away from someone, keeping my head under the parapet, so to speak? Sometimes we have to be brave enough to ensure that the relationship that we have with other people is of a peace nature, so that we can call ourselves and we can declare ourselves, even if we don't say it, we can think it and we can perform it through our peacemaking of being sons of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be. So, how do we seek to have and to maintain and to develop and improve the peace of God in our lives? Well, through relationship with Jesus Christ, of course. I'd like just to focus on one of the lovely passages of scripture that Paul wrote in Philippians. If I can find it, yes I can, here we are. Not in Colossians, it's on the opposite page. Here we are. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It's a lovely bit of scripture here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to anyone. Did I say anyone? To everyone. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And look what it says here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what do we have in verse 7? And the peace of God, this is as a result of what we've just been told, speaking there. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I've got a friend who's not too well at the present time, and I've told him that I'm praying for him. I suppose we could have mentioned him in the intercessory prayer here, but this is more of a personal thing. You probably wouldn't know the guy anyway. But he's due to have some chemotherapy and what have you, and he's not looking forward to it very much. And I said, well, I'll pray for you. And he was very moved by it, because I don't think he's a churchgoer. Most of the people I mix with are not churchgoers. But I hope that I can bring some aspect of my association with God through Jesus Christ in my conversations with them and the way which I interact with them. And I said, I'm sorry, Steve, you're feeling like this. I said, will you allow me to pray for you? That'd be wonderful, he said, if you would pray for me. And I'm going to send him this scripture here. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. He's anxious. I can tell you, he's anxious. I suppose we are anxious at times too, even though we have the reliance, we can rely on the faithfulness of our God to look after us and to see us through difficult times. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, as a result of that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the next word is finally, but I'm sorry, it's not finally. It's not the last scripture, but nevertheless, we'll say, finally, brethren, just read this next bit, because this is all part of it. This is all part of the peace of God. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Jesus said, practice these things. And, here we are, the God of peace will be with you. And surely we want the God of peace to be with us, to be in us, that we represent God's peace. And if we go back to verse 8 here, you know, we are all guardians of our own mind. There's some things we can't do. We can't change the weather. We can't change things happening in the world very much. There's all sorts of things that we cannot do very much about. But there's one thing we can do something about, and that is guard what we allow into our minds. And this is all contributing to the peacefulness that we can emanate toward other people. The sort of things that we watch, the sort of things that we read, the sort of things we listen to. I guess there are some things, in fact, I'm pretty sure there are some things that really do invade us. Because that's the way the world is. You consider the adverts that get into us. Some of them, really, we should be just turning away from. But there are so many things in television and films and various other things that we might, DVDs we might buy and then find it's not quite what we expected it to be. Well, just dispose of it. Be aggressive with it. In doing that, it's that important. Look for the things that are true and honourable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. We need to be selective. to continually ask ourselves the question, why am I looking at this? Why am I reading this? Why am I allowing this into my mind? We are guardians of our own mind. Let us seek God's guidance on that. Let us seek the peace of God. Let us seek the Spirit of God, indeed. Now, you might consider that what is coming your way that you reject, but be sure you do reject it. I say, be very selective and get rid of it. Make changes in your life. Perhaps you've already taken on board things that you know shouldn't be there in your thinking, in the way in which you react to other people and interact with other people. Well, whatever nature you have that you know is not particularly good, get rid of it. It's too late to reject it because you've already got it. But eject it. Just get rid of it. Change it. Make changes. Seek guidance from God as to those things in your life which are displeasing to Him. And ask Him to make that clear to you, because sometimes we're not clear. We think we're okay. We think that what we're doing and what we're thinking and what we're saying is acceptable to God. Well, ask God if it's acceptable and seek some guidance as to whether we should continue using that language, seeing whatever we watch, reading whatever we read, doing whatever we do. So reject or eject or resist. Don't let it come in the first place. Keep it away. And sometimes we've got to be quite strict with ourselves and to turn away from those things which do not promote peace at all in our relationships and peace with regard to our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So in rejecting and ejecting, if you're ejecting something, it's going to be a space there. Well, make sure you fill that space, is my advice. It's what I try to do. Fill the space caused by the ejection with knowledge and peace of God. I'm going to give you two scriptures here as we draw this to a close here. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Some lovely, lovely words here. Here we are in the Old Testament once again, and seeing these beautiful scriptures. Isaiah 26, the first four verses. I would recommend, if you can, at some time during the coming week, if you go through the whole of Isaiah 26, it's wonderful writing. And it says here, it's a song. We don't have the music, but nevertheless, we have the words. Perhaps you could sing along to it in a tune that you could compose yourself. In that day, verse 26, Isaiah 26, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation and walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation may keep faith. That the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because, note this, he trusts in you. Can God trust you? Can God trust me? I ask God to trust me, but I ask that he gives me the wherewithal to ensure that what I do, what I say, who I am, how I perform in service to him will be pleasing to him, and that he can trust me in what I do and what I say. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I won't be surprised if some of these verses here also reflect the second coming of Jesus Christ, the kingdom that he will establish. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. And 2 Thessalonians, back in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. Care to turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In fact, before we do that, can I just mention, as we're in 2 Thessalonians, I came across this the other day, and that announcement of the consensus, not consensus, the census, that revealed that less than half the people in England and Wales declare themselves to be Christian. Now, you might be rather sad about that, and certainly it's something to be sad about, because we don't really want to lose people. People are drifting away and falling away. It's amazing. I said to my niece, who I saw during the year, she lives in Worthing near Brighton, and she came up to see me, and we spent some time together with her husband, her boyfriend. And I said to her, regarding the census that we had last year, I said, when it came down to where it said, what religion do you have? Or do you have a faith or a belief? And if so, what is it? I said, what did you put down? Just out of interest. She said, I put down none. And I've asked this of several people between now and then, in recent months. And most of them have said, yeah, I put down none. Almost proud of the fact that they have no faith, nothing to hold on to, nothing to guide them in life, nothing to help them. Reflects, I think, what we found back in the 60s. Certainly, I seem to recall, do your own thing was the catchphrase. Do your own thing. And still, and of course, that's people who, in the 60s, who've grown up and they've had children and they're teaching their children, just do your own thing. You know, you make your own mind up. Someone said that to me during the week. We were talking about Advent. They said they'd just been given an Advent calendar. We started to talk about Advent. And I said, of course, Advent is concerning. I said, first of all, the second coming of Jesus Christ. She said, has he already come? She said. And I said, no. I said, we are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, she said, I didn't know that. Didn't know that at all. You see, it's a great shame, isn't it? That people like that, quite, you know, intelligent, respectable people, do not know what you and I know and share, and are delighted to have. And it can be a little bit soul-destroying when you hear of the numbers of Christians in the country being reduced in number. We're in 2 Thessalonians. Before I read the final scripture for this sermon, just wanted to interject this. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, second chapter. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. See, here we are, the Lord, day of the Lord. Some people were saying, the day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus, already come again. We just can't find him at the moment. He's here somewhere, but he's come again. It said, verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come. Sorry, my eyes just lost it a bit. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. In some translations, I think it says falling away. But those who rebel, the Antichrist, if you like, the time of Antichrist, that day, that is the second coming of Jesus Christ, will not come unless the rebellion comes first. So if we are at this time seeing a rebellion, a refusal to be associated with anything that's Christian, anything that's Jesus Christ, anything that is concerned with his second coming, those who are not in support of that are a sign of the imminence of the second coming of Christ. Rather interesting that Paul has written it in that way. Unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, son of destruction, you know about this, you've read it many times, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or object of worship. Perhaps we can expect for this to happen, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. An exciting time. I remember these scriptures being used when I was first becoming aware of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I found it very exciting, and I was so pleased that I was able to preach on it last week. But this week we're speaking about the peace of God, and we are down to 2 Thessalonians, just across the page now, to chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'd like to finish with this. This is a wonderful scripture. Of course, they're all wonderful in their own way, but this one is very appropriate for what we've been looking at today. The peace of God. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Yes. But what does it say here? In verse 16 of chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. I think that's wonderful, and a wonderful scripture, I think, on which to end this sermon. God be praised, and may the peace of God be with you all in every way.